Guess what, everybody? It's July. You can't say it's too early in the season to start taking stock of where everything is. And that's exactly what I'm doing today. With Miller Thomas of Locked On Diamondbacks, we're taking a look at the best contenders, both for the pennant and the most valuable player. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. This episode is being dropped on the first day of July, 2022. Thanks so much for making us your first listen, as we're available on all your free podcasting catchers. And we can be found on Twitter, Locked On MLB Pods. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal, Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So what we did, Miller Thomas and I went on way too long of a conversation the other day, and I played the first part of it on the episode I dropped on, I believe it was Tuesday. Forgive me, some of these days blend together in your pal Sully's noggin. And I had this conversation kind of put aside into a little folder, so I had it ready for later because it was a little more evergreen. We talked about, we each had our four biggest contenders for the pennant in the American League and the National League, and for the MVP in the American League and the National League, and sort of taking stock as we're roughly about halfway through the season right now. And a lot of things can happen past the halfway mark. Hell, at this point last year, the Atlanta Braves were a sub 500 team, but things could turn around. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to play the conversation that I had with Miller Thomas. We're breaking down the contenders for the pennant segment. But let's take a look at the teams that, as we're approaching, look at this is a critical, I'm a broken record about this, but it's a critical point in the year for front offices and general managers. The middle third of the season is for the teams that are kind of on the cusp, or either the teams that are real World Series contenders to say, hey, let's just patch up any potential holes and put together a super team, kind of like Los Angeles did when they acquired Max Scherzer in last year's trade deadline and Trey Turner as well, or a chance to fill in the spackle and sort of say, well, look at it. Let's try to contend and I'll try to fill some of our holes, of which oddly the best deals were those kind of deals like Rosario and Jorge Soler being picked up by Atlanta at the trade deadline to just make sure they had a major leaguer in those roles. And lo and behold, they became World Series heroes. So this is the time for general managers and front office and scouting departments to say, all right, what are we? Are we non-contenders who should be throwing all of the bodies over the side of the boat? Mm-hmm. Are we middle contenders? And we say, hey, let's more or less stay pat, hopefully grab one of the wild card spots and take our chances? Or are we the team that could look up and say, this could really be our year? Like World Series, like ring, like, you know, ease their pain to a Field of Dreams that started. That was that was 1989. Still wrong year for you.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. But fact of the matter is, let's you and I pick the four biggest World Series contenders. And they don't necessarily have to be two from the National League and two from the American League. That's the way I'm particularly doing it. But if you think one league has three legit World Series contenders or one league only has one, let's just pick the three biggest World Series contenders. And by what I mean by this is the teams, as they're constructed now, have the best chance to go to the World Series. And I'm going to go four through one.
Okay.
Do you want my four or your four first?
You want to go back and forth, or you want to go four?
Let's
four
go back and forth. Let's go each of our number four.
So my number four, I'm going to start off with an American American League team. I'm going to go with the team that everyone hates. If this team made it to the World Series, there would be, you know, riots in the streets. Buildings would burn down because it's the Houston Astros. They're the cheaters. They're the scandals. But guess what? I don't care about any of that. They're still damn good. They're still in the freaking championship series almost every year, and they still got a damn good rotation. Jeremy Peña has been a great rookie shortstop, really filling in for Carlos Correa. Yordan Alvarez is looking like one of the best power hitters in baseball. I think the Houston Astros are going to be there once again, probably in the final four when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a huge surprise. I almost wanted to say or four picks other than the Yankees. But, you know, we should be open and honest about this. You take a look at this team. You know, look at how many big hits Kyle Tucker's getting. You know, look at the production they're getting out of Alvarez. Look at what they're still getting out of Altuve. You know, they have a wonderful lineup. But I think the reemergence of Verlander, who, remember, hasn't really pitched since the 2019 World Series. We saw. Yes, the Yankees wound up coming from behind and winning two of those games in Houston. But we saw that the starting pitching for Houston can stop the Yankee pitching. Mm-hmm. I can't stop the Yankee bats. Verlander, Valdez, Urquidy, Christian Javier, Luis Garcia. That's a good – even with Odorizzi out, that's a good, solid rotation. Presley is a good closer. Neris, Montero, Stanek, Abreu, their bullpen, even Seth Martinez is doing very well. Their bullpen is about, you know, 8 or 9 deep. Or their pitching staff is about 8 or 9 deep. And look at Dusty Baker has checked every single box off of his Hall of Fame resume except winning a World Series. And I don't know what kind of motivation that is for a team, but also another motivation, and you hinted at it a little bit. Again, I'm not going to get into the heads of any of these players, but there's a gigantic asterisk obviously hanging over the 2017 title, and I'll say it, over the 2019 pennant. Why is it absurd to say that he was wearing a buzzer on it? How is that any more absurd to say they were banging trash cans? Seriously, if I came up to you with, we didn't know it. You know, they were banging trash cans. That's why they were able to beat all those big pitchers in that postseason. You're full of it. We found out that it turned out to be true. So why is it out of the blue why can't I suggest, hey, Altuve had that thing. Why was he covering his shirt this way? We heard about that. I don't instantly dismiss it. Either way, for this Astros squad to win a World Series without scrutiny, because they are being watched upon like the kids who got cheated on the exam. Those proctors are going to be staring at them, making sure they don't cheat. I don't think anyone thought last year's pennant was not on the level when they won the pennant against Boston and came up just short in the World Series. Mm-hmm. And for this team to have a baggage-free World Series and deliver a title to Dusty Baker, again, I don't know how much motivation that really is, but it's got to be Dusty's a bigger thing. I think winning for Dusty, who's such a beloved figure, and let's say it, a really smart baseball guy who's had managed playoff teams in the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s, and the 2020s. He's in the top 10 all-time in managerial wins? He's every team he goes to the postseason.
Yeah, maybe.
Why does this guy have to? And the only thing not on his list is World Series title as a manager.
Yeah, maybe Dusty would be the biggest motivation, because in my head, I mean, the Astros are pretty validated, because since that scandal, they were like one game away from the World Series in 2020. Then they made it to the World Series last year in 2021. So this is another year where they're in the final four, maybe another potential World Series run. I'm like, they're there every season, cheating or not cheating. They've been one of the best teams in baseball. So for me, yeah. I don't think I really need any more validation from them. But who's your number three team, Sully?
My number three team.
Who you got next?
I'll tell you, my number three team is the team that I picked to win the World Series at the beginning of the year.
Or I guess, isn't it your number four team technically? Aren't we going back and forth? Or do you want to go to number three?
I don't understand.
Because I gave my number four. Are you going to give your number four? Or are you going to give?
I agree. Number four is the Astros for me.
Okay, you agree. Okay, I didn't know.
I totally agree. The Astros and I think the Astros have a real. The Astros could be the 2001 Yankees to the 2001 Mariners, when the Mariners won 116 games, but then they wound up losing in five games to the Yankees in the ALCS. The Astros are the exact type of team that would pull that off because they'd be able to have the pitching that potentially shut them down. And you can mix and match your pitchers differently. I still think they have a strong bullpen. I wouldn't have managed any differently than Dusty did. You know, the Yankees just happened to get the big hits. But I think the Astros, in a short series, could wrestle away home field advantage with their pitching.
Real quick question. Would you consider this Astros team, what they've been doing since 2017, a dynasty?
No, not yet. They have to win again.
If they win one more, then it's a dynasty.
I think they need to have a baggage-free title.
Okay. Because they've been in the championship series or World Series every year since 2017. So I didn't know if it was time to start asking the question.
I have a hard time including 2020 in any conversation just because it's such a small sample size. And they had a losing record in 60 games, but it was just because they expanded playoffs. Mm-hmm. We can blame the Twins for that. The team that I picked to win the World Series at the beginning of the year were the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're my number three team.
Wow.
I think that the emergence of Tyler Anderson as being a reliable starter to go along with Gonsolin. I mean, I don't like looking at win-loss records. I think they're misleading. But if you look at the records, if you do look at the win-loss record of combining Tyler Anderson, Tony Gonsolin, and Clayton Kershaw, that is they're 22-2. Okay. Walker Buehler's injured. Julio Urias is, I as a human being, I'm not a fan, but as your number three, as your number three or four starter, holy Toledo. I don't trust Craig Kimbrell any more than I could throw him. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that if anything is going to derail the hopes of the Dodgers, it would be a bullpen collapse. But you also take a look, and Betts is injured, obviously, right now. And that's no small thing. And Muncy's having a terrible season. In fact, they're getting some really bad production from some of their key players. And yet Freddie Freeman has taken to this team like a fish to water. And Trey Turner, the two new relative new guys, are playing outstanding ball right now. I think that they could they have the goods. They're not the super team that's going to win, that won 106 ball games last year, but I think they're going to be a high 90 wins team. And I think that if Buehler and Betts are healthy, they are going to be a really hard team to beat in a 7-game series.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're your number three team just because of the equity that they probably have built in. They probably have the most built-in championship equity among all teams, mm-hmm. basically what they've been doing the last decade plus in Major League Baseball. They've pretty much been there every year since. And when you look at the team on paper, they're supremely talented. So I'm a little surprised they're your number three team. Obviously, they haven't been as dominant this year.
Okay, we are going to get back to the conversation. We're going to be talking about more pennant contenders. We're going to have more discussion of our thoughts with Miller Thomas. First, I want to talk to you a little bit about Bet Online. It's your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including Major League Baseball. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's the fastest way to check in all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. Also, look it, as the sun comes out, small businesses are back in business. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easier to grow your team. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the people you want to interview faster and for free. You can create a job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job with a purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you want to interview. That's why small businesses rank LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires with leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs help you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. Post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Let's now return to our conversation with Millard Thomas, where we're talking about the state of the contenders right now.
My number three team, I'm actually going to put, this actually might be a little bit of a surprise because of how good they're playing, but it's based off the teams that I basically, you know, how I view them in terms of can they win the World Series? My personal power ranking is not based off the record, but
my personal, whatever
I'm trying to say. But I got the Yankees number three is basically what I'm trying to say, because that would probably be the most surprising pick on this list just because of how they played the best baseball so far this season. But when I look at that Yankees team, I just feel like they're getting so many guys overperforming compared to their normal expectations. When I look at the Jordan Montgomerys, I want to look at the Jameson Taillons, a lot of their rotation members, I think, are just having phenomenal seasons. I trust a guy like Nestor Cortez, but those other couple guys I mentioned, I'm not too sure. Is Severino really going to hold up once we get to the postseason? So as good as the Yankees are playing, I feel like if Judge, you know, takes a little bit of a step back, or if he gets hurt, or if Stan gets hurt, I feel like there's not a ton of guys in that lineup that are actually producing on a very high level. I think they're getting a lot of their production from like a core four of dudes, and in that rotation as well, Gerrit Cole, like, he's had a great season, but again,
yes,
I once we get to the postseason, we have seen cracks in the armor, especially when he's gone against the teams like the Red Sox and the Astros. We've seen him falter a little bit against those better teams in the American League. So the Yankees, as good as they've been this season, I just don't trust them as much as some of the other teams on this list, which is surprising because of how good they've been this season. But I don't think they're as talented as maybe their record says they are.
I can understand that. I mean, I'll get, obviously the Yankees are on my list. So I'll get to my thoughts on that. But I can, as I mentioned with the, by bringing up the Astros, I think that the Yankees could be beaten by a team that had an outstanding starting rotation and could, you know, match up a Cole or match up a Nestor Cortez. And all they'd have to do is shut down one or two of those bats, and suddenly, you know, they're losing a game 3-1. I will address that in a moment. Who's going to do their number two? You want me to do my number two, or you do your number two?
Yeah, that was my number three. So did you give, I guess you gave your number three already. So
my number three was my number three was Los Angeles.
So. Yeah, so we'll go to your number two now. We'll throw it back to you. So
number two is the New York Yankees.
Okay,
there you go. Let's go. I guess I just should have gone right into it. No, they're my number two team. And I'll explain. It's not Red Sox hatred of Yankee fans that make me have it at number two. It's just that they're playing at such a peak level right now that it will just take a one bad outing from a Nestor Cortez. I've seen this happen with Braves teams that have won 108 games. I see this happen with the Phillies, who had Cliff Lee, Roy Halladay, and Cole Hamels up against an underperforming Cardinals team. There are moments when a absolute Goliath of a team can have two bad days and suddenly they're in a winner-take-all series with all the pressure on one and no pressure on the other. I think if the Yankees get eliminated, there are two ways that they'll get eliminated. Either A, they'll be caught on their heels in the division series, losing games one or two, and put them in that proverbial, you know, catch them off guard. Or they have a classic series against the Houston Astros, where the Verlanders and the Urquidy's match up with the Gerrit Coles and the Nestor Cortez's, and it just is a knockdown, drag-out fight for seven games. And, you know, a bloop by Michael Tucker is the, you know, it'll get to the point where it becomes chance, kind of like when the Cubs and the Indians played that game seven. By the time it went to extra innings, they're like, okay, the bullpens are spent. It's now just a ball that's going to hit. The World Series is going to be determined. It's clearly two evenly matched teams. We played seven games and still couldn't come up with a winner. So it's now just going to be chance. And I think that the Astros are the team that could match up with the Yankees. I think the Yankees are playing so smart and doing so many things right. The fact that they could rely on LeMahieu this year that they couldn't do last year. So it isn't just waiting for Judge and waiting for Stanton to hit the ball out of the ballpark. They're getting some hits out of Hicks. They're getting production. They're getting great defense out of Connor Falefa. And their pitching staff, by removing Chapman, who has been a question mark the last bunch of years, and handing the ball to Clay Holmes. I don't know if Clay Holmes is a long-term solution, but this could be a Koji Uehara situation where fate and fortune handed the ball to the right closer for this year. And you see that so many times. A closer has like one great season or maybe one or two great seasons and then where it all sort of comes together and clicks. You know, Bobby Jenks when the White Sox was another example of a guy that he wasn't the closer for most of the year, but midway through, hey, hand the ball to him. Holmes has been a revelation. Michael King has been fantastic out of the bullpen. Their pitching depth is great. They have one Achilles heel that prevents them from being my number one team because I think the number one team I have is superior at this one particular spot. So my number one team to win the pennant and the World Series, I'll mention after you, but the Yankees, I think the Yankees right now have to be beaten to win the pennant. You know, you have to go through them. And because of that, I think they are the team. They are literally the team to beat for the American League pennant. And so, therefore, I have to put them at the highest point in the American League.
That's fair. They are the team to beat. They're the best team in the American League right now. But I'm hoping the postseason, the standings break down where the Yankees have to face both the Red Sox and the Houston Astros, because I feel like those are the Achilles heels in terms of teams for the Yankees of the last 5 years. Because
a healthy Rays team, too. A healthy Rays team. Where they keep throwing different pitchers at them gets the Yankees on their heels. But this year, the Yankees have been finding ways to win that they didn't find last year. This team reminds me of the 2018 Red Sox, where the balls just kept falling in the right place for that team. And, you know, if you're a Yankee hater, that's a sad thing to hear. But I think this is the best Yankee team since they had Jeter, Rivera, Pettit, and Posada and A-Rod, you know, so that's really going back to 2012. So this is the best Yankee team in a decade. I don't think there's I have no compunction saying that.
That's fair. And part of that's, you know, we got guys like Judge who are playing at MVP levels usually. Yeah. I mean, they've had great players, but when Judge is playing like this, it just raises the ceiling of the team so much more and stands back to looking great again. Great performances from guys like Clay Holmes, like we've talked about. So the Yankees definitely deserve to be there. They're my number three, as I mentioned before, because my number two team, I got two teams in the National League in my top two. Ooh. You got the Dodgers as your number three team. I have them. They're not here at number two. I actually have the New York Mets at number two, the other New York team, because the Mets, I can't put them at number one. They're the New York Mets, right? They have those curses. They seem to something always goes wrong when you don't want it to for the New York Mets. So because of those reasons, for baseball god reasons, the mystical reasons, I won't put them at number one. But in terms of being on paper talents, the Mets are right there with any team in Major League Baseball. They probably have the best pitching staff in Major League Baseball, where their number four and number five starters could be easily number twos on pretty much every other rotation in baseball. Their lineup is deep. I love the offseason's additions that they made. Starling Marte, guys like that have been huge. Chris Bassett have been huge as well. So this New York Mets team, they're going to be a team to watch at the trade deadline as well, because we know Steve Cohen is an all-in kind of a owner, and I love that for the New York Mets, because I believe in Major League Baseball, if you have an owner who's willing to spend money, you can win games and you can build a really good roster for the postseason. It doesn't matter about your market size. If you're playing in Minnesota, San Diego, New York, if you have an owner willing to spend money, you can field a competitive roster. And the New York Mets, now with Steve Cohen as their owner, they're willing to spend all the money it takes to win a World Series. So I love the New York Mets for that reason. I think they're going to be huge buyers at the deadline. They got the most stacked rotation in baseball. I think that pitching staff is what's going to carry them to the potentially a World Series win.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said, except the mystical parts. I think that again, this is a little bit of a Ghostbusters quality to this team. like in 04 with the Red Sox, when the new ownership was like, hell with this. Let's push all of our chips in the center of the table and just go for it, you know, go for it. Or I know Stacey Gottsoulias doesn't like me bringing up the 04 Red Sox. I'll bring up the 2019 Washington Nationals, a team that just always stubbed their toe in the postseason. The city of Washington hadn't hosted a World Series game since 1933, even before I was born. And the fact of the matter is that team slayed all the dragons and did so with two of the just wildest deciding games. The final game against Los Angeles, the extra inning game with the Howie Kendrick grand slam, and then the come from behind game against the Astros with, hey, the Howie Kendrick two-run home run. It's good to be Howie Kendrick in 2019. But I'm just going to say, I'm just moving on. The Mets are my number one.
Okay.
The Mets are my number one for the World Series for a bunch of reasons. The team right now has survived a massive charge by the Braves, that huge winning streak. Several what would be – like, I went into this year saying the Mets could win because they'll have the combination of DeGrom and Scherzer. DeGrom and Scherzer are both injured right now, and they're still in first place. You know, when you take a look at them, you made the point of the rotation. A rotation of Chris Bassett, Carlos Carrasco, Taijuan Walker, and David Peterson would be a contending rotation at any point in the National League. And there's a chance that the Mets can include – Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom for the second half.
Okay, even though like McGill in there, who's
McGill? I mean, you're gonna have to put McGill and Peterson or maybe Bassett into the bullpen where they have Edwin Diaz, who's done a fine job. Drew Smith's done a fine job. Ottavino's been okay. I mean, you can have a bullpen, you could have a 10 deep bullpen. Pete Alonso is a MVP candidate. Mm-hmm. He isn't my winner for the MVP, but he's an MVP candidate. Lindor is dusting himself off from his rusty first year and contributing. They're getting, you know, Nimmo is the type of player they need. Marte and Cana and Escobar are exactly the types of players that they need. Even if they aren't all putting up the best numbers right now, they're the exact kind of veterans that this team needs. And you made the great point that this not – they're going to put more – players on this team. There, if there's anything that even resembles a weakness on this team, they are going to fill it with a star. And they also have, and this is the one main thing I would give, if like right now I'm picking a Subway Series, okay? Because I think you have to beat the Mets and you have to beat the Yankees. You have to beat a New York team if you want to go to the World Series this year. Mm-hmm. And if it's Mets, Yankees, and Mets pitching staff versus the Yankees pitching staff. Mets lineup versus the Yankees lineup. The Mets bullpen, Yankees bullpen. The main difference is Showalter versus Boone, in my opinion. And, you know, we were talking about a coronation for Dusty Baker if the Astros win the World Series. This would be a coronation for Showalter, who has taken many teams to the postseason and manage to leave before they get to the World Series. Those would all be resume padding with a World Series title with the Mets. And think about it, if it's a World Series, is Houston versus the Mets, you know, then you know Dusty Baker or Buck Showalter are playing for their Hall of Fame speech. But I just love the fact that the Mets are playing at this level and have two legit Cy Young contenders waiting in the wings to not be worn down come playoff time, and they could still improve their team. I think the Mets right now, if I were to say what team right now, playing right now, is going to win the World Series, I would say the New York Mets.
Yeah, and even if I compared like the lineups, if I take out like Pete Alonso and Aaron Judge, I probably like the Mets lineup way better than the Yankees lineup, just top to bottom. I'm looking at it. The rotation too, if I take out Cole and I take out DeGrom, like you still got Scherzer and all those other guys. Like I don't know if Severino or Nestor Cortez can really live up to being a number two. As much as I love the Nestor Cortez of the world, like a lot of those Yankee rotation guys are just unproven once we get to the postseason. Maybe they will translate their regular season success over to the postseason. But
like
I just
the
have
Braves, like the Braves did last year with them. There a lot of unproven players on that team suddenly clicked, and you know, it could obviously happen. The Yankees, absolutely, the Yankees can win the World Series. The Yankees could clobber the Mets. But right now, I really think the Mets would win the World Series in a series against the Yankees.
And so, at my number one team, I don't have the New York Mets here, my number two team. I got the LA Dodgers as my number one team just because I think when I look on paper, I got to ride with talent. And no team has more superstars than the LA Dodgers. Forget the statistics. You got Freddie Freeman. You got Mookie Betts. You got Trey Turner. You got Justin Turner. You got Max Muncy. You got all these guys. You got the Walker Buehler is their best starting rotation member. He's performed the worst so far this season. He's on the 60-day injured list. They still got Kershaw, Urias. They got other dudes. Gonsolin, their rotation is stacked. Their bullpen is probably the biggest weakness right now because Gratterall and Kimbrel at the back end of that bullpen hasn't been great this year, but there's just too much freaking talent on this Dodgers team to count them out. And like the New York Mets, we know they're going to make moves at the deadline as well, and they're probably going to fleece their team or two because they always seem to go out there and somehow not only get the Trey Turner, but also, or excuse me, not get the not only get the Max Scherzer, but somehow
throw a Trey Turner.
Sprinkle Trey Turner in as a little side appetizer for me. Like, I don't understand how the Dodgers are able to pull off deals like that, and why no one else in baseball are able to do it as well. The Dodgers do have a farm system with assets, which most teams don't have. Somehow the Dodgers have all the superstars and also have all the assets in the minor league. So shout out to the Dodgers for doing that. Their front office does a great job. So for those reasons, you have the most talent and you have pieces in your farm system where you could still go out there and make moves. You could even use a guy like Gavin Lux, who's on the major league roster, to go out there and make moves and make trades. So the Dodgers just have the most assets, the most pieces to make moves. So I'm riding with the Dodgers as my number one team.
I mean, look, there's so many reasons why the Dodgers could win the pennant in the World Series this year and be kind of like, look, I'm not going to claim to be an NBA expert, but I think a lot of people were picking teams like Phoenix or Miami or Milwaukee to go to the finals and win. And the Warriors wound up winning because a lot of those players were tried and true, stepped up at the big time. And that could very well be exactly what happens.
I do want to talk to you guys about sports cards because I love sports cards. Growing up, my grandfather, he passed down a whole bunch of sports cards to me. And it's something I fell in love with as I start to grow up. And when I look at this Diamondbacks team, it's young. It's got a young core. We got Alec Thomas. We got Dalton Varsho. And I want to own a piece of that young Diamondbacks core. We got Corbin Carroll, Jordan Lawler coming up pretty soon as well. So if you want to own a piece of the Diamondbacks going forward and just be a part of the franchise, you need to check out the Sports Card Investor app because welcome to the world of sports cards reimagined. The Sports Card Investor app is the hobby's most powerful resource. Quickly check the value of your favorite cards, find great deals, and profit from the hobby you love. Available completely free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, the Sports Card Investor app is a must-have for baseball fans. It's completely free, easily browse over 630,000 cards from every sport with hundreds more added each week. Check the latest values of your favorite cards with 7-day or 30-day charts. Find the best prices and buy directly through the app with our eBay deals feature. Download the Sports Card Investor app today, available for free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, or go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon.
All right, we're running pretty late on this show, so let's just do some quick rapid fire here. Give me your top three MVPs for the AL and the NL.
Okay, I feel like for the American League, I had to do four because there's four that really stand out.
Fair enough. Yep.
And in my order, I'm going Mike Trout, number four. And I think the American League was a lot harder to do than the National League as well because I think the top four is so freaking close. But I got Mike Trout, which is – I think this is going to flip-flop throughout their entire season. I think this is going to go up and down. But Mike Trout, I have to put four. He's having maybe the best season of the top four guys I'm mentioning, but his Angel team sucks, and I still take record into account. Mike Trout's having a phenomenal season, but just because his team is not as good as the other teams I'm going to mention, and he's having a similar season to some of the other guys, I'm going to have to knock him for that, so he's my number four. Number three, I got Jose Ramirez, who's also having another fantastic season. He leads the league in RBIs, but the Guardians, I don't think, are as good as another team I'm going to mention for, one of my top candidate. He plays on the best team in the American League, so because of that, Jose Jose Ramirez. I can't put above him, even though they're having very similar seasons. Jose Ramirez quietly, very quick, double-digit stolen bases. But for me, he's going to fall in at number three just because I don't think the Guardians are that great of a team. But he's definitely the driving force in that lineup. Number two for me, this guy might be number one on a lot of people's lists, and he probably should be number one. But because his team sucks, he can only be number two, and that is Shohei Ohtani. And if Ohtani has, you know, a 3-5 ERA at the end of the season, 25 home runs, 25 stolen bases, like, we probably should give him the MVP regardless of what the record is, because he is the definition of MVP. No guy does more for their team than Shohei Ohtani. But because it's early in the season, I still care about records. I might not care about as much as we get toward the end of the season, but I still care about records as we do these way too early MVP races halfway through the season. So because the Angels have been just terrible the last month and a half, a long losing streak during that process as well, Ohtani, you have to be number two for me, even though you might be the most valuable player overall in Major League Baseball. And the number one, I got Aaron Judge, the best player on the best team. Very easy argument for me for the MVP. He's got, you know, leads the league in home runs. He's got the most total bases, a 290 average, over 1,000 OPS. Aaron Judge has had a phenomenal season, and he's playing a little bit more center field than he normally does, so his defense has gotten better as well. So I got Aaron Judge as my number one MVP in the American League. So maybe we could go back and forth and do the leagues first, and then you could give me your top four in the American League.
It's funny. There's one major difference I have in mind. My number four is Trout.
Mm-hmm.
My number three is Rafael Devers.
Oh, okay. I like that.
A great year for Boston. I have Jose Ramirez at number two, mainly because he's carrying that that Guardians lineup. He's carrying that team's offense. They're a contender. If you look up and down their lineup, if you take him out of that, this is a 100-loss team, maybe. Maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but, you know, he is their offense. I don't have Ohtani in my top four, I guess.
Wow.
I mean, I understand all the arguments for it. I truly do. I just have to have Ramirez up there. I have to have Devers up there. I think Trout's having a phenomenal year, and I don't see how he can give to anyone but Aaron Judge. I mean, Aaron Judge right now is the MVP of the American League. That's what I see. Let's talk. The National League is probably be a little tougher.
Yeah. One thing I was going to say, I like Devers on your list. I think the only reason he's not in my top four is because that first month, he started maybe the first 3 weeks a little bit slower. But over the last 6-7 weeks, you could easily say he's been the best player in baseball over the last 6-7 weeks. So I think he's going to be a riser as the season goes on, honestly.
I just think the Red Sox got off to such a terrible start.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you saw what he did. And it's like, oh, wow. I mean, to me, it's just what he's been since that first month has been so tremendous that I have a hard putting him anywhere else. So anyway, show me what you got.
Okay, yeah, the National League is a little bit tougher because some of these MVP candidates have gotten hurt recently, so that kind of plays into it. So for me, I'll still put him in my MVP list just because the injury was so recently. So I have Bryce Harper, number four on my list for MVP candidates. He's been phenomenal. Now, he's been a little bit more of a DH because he first got hurt with the wrist, you know, before this latest injury. He got hurt previously. He had to stop throwing and he had to stop playing defense. He had to move to DH full time. So that probably hurts his MVP candidacy a little bit. And now he just got surgery. Looks like he might be out 6 to 8 weeks. So Bryce Harper's definitely going to be falling off this list. But at this point of the season, Bryce Harper's number four for me. Mookie Betts, in full honesty, is not on it for me just because I think he's been hurt a little bit too long. But number three for me, I got Pete Alonso of the New York Mets, who I think is having an underrated season. He's smashing home runs left and right. He's one of the league leaders in RBIs. I think Pete Alonso has been because after that rookie season, he seemed to take a little bit of a step back in 2020. I think he's come roaring back this year. So I think Pete Alonso is having a really incredible season, and he's been the driving force in that New York Mets lineup. Number two for me, I got Manny Machado, who would just, like, if you look at the top five MVP candidates in the National League, like, three of the top five are hurt. Manny Machado, he's going to be out maybe a little bit of time as well. But he's going to be number two for me because with Fernando Tatis out, the Padres are a team where you look at that lineup, a lot of those guys aren't producing producing at very high levels outside of Manny Machado, like the Jake Cronenworth, haven't been as good this year coming off an all-star appearance. Trent Grishams of the world are just having terrible seasons. So Manny Machado has done a great job of carrying that lineup without Fernando Tatis. The rotation has been very good, but the driving force in that lineup has been Manny Machado. The number one for me, it hurts to say because he used to be an Arizona Diamondback and he used to be the face of the franchise, but I think I gotta go with Paul Goldschmidt, who had just been on a power bender recently, multi-home run games left and right. Every time I go on Twitter, I feel like I'm seeing another Paul Goldschmidt bomb. That lineup for the Cardinals has been pretty good. I mean, Nolan Arenado, Nolan Gorman, they got some pieces, but no piece has been better for the Cardinals than Paul Goldschmidt, who the Cardinals are a team who I don't think are a phenomenal, you know, the strongest World Series contender. They weren't among our top four, but the way Goldie's playing right now, he raises the ceiling of that team, and he's looking like an MVP candidate. Because the thing with Goldie, he usually starts season slow. Usually the first half is a little slow. Then by the All-Star break, he usually starts picking up. No, Paul Goldschmidt from the jump this year, he's been good from day one. I think he's my MVP so far.
You know, you're right. The injuries have thrown some weird wrenches into all this thing right now. Because even for Bryce Harper, who was having a wonderful year as well. I'm going to keep Machado at my number four, I really hope he doesn't miss too many more games. That would be a real shame if he does. My number three may surprise you. I'm putting Dansby Swanson.
Wow. Okay. That's a Dansby big spot.
I just think that an all-round player, I needed to have someone on that Braves team, had that great run. I had to take Harper off of my list. And, you know, like, I was trying to find someone who just, like, helps all around, defensively, offensively. I may regret that decision, but I think he's had a tremendous year. And I would just want – maybe I wanted to give him a shout-out. You could also possibly put Freddie Freeman at number three as well.
I think it's a contract year for Dansby Swanson as well. So you're trying to get the bag after having a career year.
Yeah, I mean, like, having Harper and Betts injured really puts and Machado.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Three of the top five guys are hurt.
I mean, yeah. I mean, so, my number – did I put Machado on there?
Yeah, three.
Number two is Alonso. Not just because he's had so many – and his numbers are great. But he's come up big on so many massive.
Been clutch.
Just an absolute, like, when you have a team that loses DeGrom, that loses Scherzer, and he is just carrying that offense and being the spark of that offense. But Goldschmidt is, like, Leo, I hate to say it, he's just so obviously the MVP. It's like, I don't understand an argument for anyone other than Goldschmidt right now. You can make a case for someone other than Judge. I wouldn't agree with it, but I would say, oh, okay, we agree to disagree on that. I don't understand an argument for anyone who's not named Paul Goldschmidt to be the National League MVP, especially with the injuries to Machado and to Harper and to Betts. That's why it was such a difficult time coming up with the four for the – it was basically Goldschmidt, Alonso. I'm like, Dansby Swanson's good. And again, that's not a slight on him. Or Trey Turner with Los Angeles is having a great year. I mean, there's a bunch of players having great years, but Goldschmidt should be the unanimous MVP at this point.
Yeah, and at the time of us recording this on Tuesday, Goldschmidt leads the National League in batting average, OBP, slugging, OPS, OPS plus, total bases. He also has 19 home runs and over 60 RBIs. He is running away with MVP. And as a D-backs fan, it hurts even more knowing that Carson Kelly just got his first home run of the season. He's batting below 150. And Luke Weaver, whenever he goes out there to start, he is a complete abomination every start now. Like, he's lost all confidence. So when you look at that Goldschmidt trade, it is getting worse and worse by the season, which is actually pretty crazy because as Goldschmidt is getting older, he seems to become a better player. Why the two young D-backs players are getting worse as they are getting older. So contrast there for D-backs fans.
This has been a lockdown therapy session. We've gone on so long. We got to end this. We got to end this episode. I know. So I'm just going to, this is an epic episode that you and I have recorded. I'm clearly going to be chewed out by the heads of the Lockdown Podcast Network for doing this long an episode. Maybe, you know, you can split it up into as many episodes as you want.
I'm done for the rest of the week, Sully. What are you talking about? You got all my pods for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So thank you. Shout out to you. I'm going to D-backs game tonight. So now I can just relax and maybe I'll do a little post-game recording. I mean, by the time my listeners are listening to this part of the podcast, it's going to be like Friday by the time they listen to this. So they don't even know what I'm going to be talking about.
All right. So tell people where you can listen to this show.
Oh, well, follow me on all podcasting platforms, of course, or just look up at CreatorThomas24 for my personal account on Twitter, or just type in Locked On Diamondbacks to both Twitter and Instagram for the podcast handle.
And you can follow us at Locked On MLB Pod, same handle for Instagram. I'm the pal Sully, but Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Going way long on this, but having a fun time. It's been a Locked On crossover between Locked On MLB and Locked On Diamondbacks. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. That's my co-host, Miller Thomas. We're going to fist pump because we're in this together. We're over an hour.